White Area and Resistance calling. White Area and Resistance calling. This is White Area and Resistance Radio. The date is October 22nd, 2003. We are at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website is resist.com. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. I'm going to play you an excerpt, just a short one, featuring Eric von Sydow in the film Hannah and Her Sisters. If you've never caught this, it's quite interesting about Sydow's comments on the Holocaust.
You missed a very dull TV show about Auschwitz. More gruesome film clips and more puzzled intellectuals declaring their mystification over the systematic murder of millions. The reason why they can never answer the question, how could it possibly happen, is that it's the wrong question. Given what people are, the question is, why doesn't it happen more often? Of course it does, in subtler form.
I have a headache from the weather.
Oh. It's been ages since I sat in front of the TV. Just changing channels to find something. You see, the whole culture, Nazis, deodorant salesmen, wrestlers, beauty contests, the talk show. Can you imagine the level of a mind that watches wrestling? But the worst are the fundamentalist preachers, third-rate con men, telling the poor suckers that watch them that they speak for Jesus, and to please send in money. Money, money, money. If Jesus came back and saw what's going on in his name, he'd never stop growing up.
Well, there you have it. Max von Sydow commenting on the Holocaust. The question is not, why did it happen or why did things like that happen, but why it doesn't happen more often? That's a good question. Also, his comments on fundamentalist preachers and religion. Very interesting from this little Jew, Woody Allen. Very interesting to call our radio program and give your opinion. We have a 24-hour phone line at 760-723-8996, and most of the comments we receive on that line we will put on the show, and as we will today. Now, subscribe to War. Do it right now. You can get a sample copy for $3 cash to Fallbrook in California, P.O. Box 65, and make that cash. And if I know you'll want to subscribe to the paper after that, and that'll be $30 cash, check, or money order made out to John Metzger. In fact, all orders you make from War make your checks or money orders to John Metzger, or PayPal to warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. Anyhow, and if you're so unfortunate as to be in Soviet Kanukistan, that's Canada, well, it's $40 per year up there, and $50 in all other countries, and that's to be paid in U.S. funds only, please. Now, your paper will reach you in a plain brown envelope with no markings all over it, like some people like to do, so you'll be safe from your Negroid mailman. And if you'd like to buy, and you should, bulk copies of War, 100 papers for $25, postpaid to you. And you can spread the cheer of racism and the hate community throughout your neighborhood and make them very happy. By the time you hear this show, we will have already visited Chicago and at least attempted to appear at the Matt Hale trial, which begins on November 3rd. And we hope we can show Matt Hale some real support there in Chicago on November 3rd. The War newspaper goes to press on Friday. That is the last Friday of the month. So make sure if you have an address change that you get it into us, and also your subs, or if you're delinquent on your subscription, get it in here so you'll get the hot new, this will be the November issue of the newspaper coming up, 2003. Well, it's been sort of quiet around the old underground installation here, and I see that Dr. Kaldenberg is slowly creeping up to our offices here. So here he comes, Dr. Kaldenberg. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, I see you found another way around the roadblocks down there.
Yeah, it's hot as hell. It's October, and it's been like 105 in the valley and stuff, and fires all over the place. So I think the Mexicans are going indoors. They don't like the heat.
Yeah, I think they're under a tree someplace taking a siesta.
A sombrero.
But I thought maybe the strikers at the grocery store might have stopped you.
No,
because you couldn't cross a picket line, could
you? No, with white ladies.
That's right. Okay. Well, what's new?
Oh, a whole lot of stuff.
Well, let's go.
Heard you about the Matt Cale trial.
Matt Hale, yeah.
Matt Hale, excuse me.
Coming up November 3rd in Chicagoland.
Yeah.
By the time they hear this, it'll already be started, and who knows how long the trial will last. Maybe they won't even give him a trial. Maybe they'll just take him out and put him on the scaffold and hang him.
Yeah, probably so.
Now they got another liar on the string.
Oh, yeah.
One liar is not enough.
Got John Fox now.
John Fox.
Go with Tony Evola.
I have Tony Evola. I've got no idea who Fox is.
Well, he was some, you know how they have all these post office boxes where they got these people that don't do a fucking thing, but they open a post office box and that's a unit.
Now be nice.
Well, he was a unit leader because he had a post office
box. Yeah, Fox. And he was supposed to be the head of the church in Illinois. Yeah, so that all five of them.
Yeah,
not churches, people. Sorry,
well,
boys.
Well, mostly those guys, those unit leaders, you know, they put up their $10 a year for a post office box, and that's all they do.
The old Nazis used to tell me. They said, they had all these post office boxes all over the country,
mm-hmm.
opened by one or two guys.
Yeah.
And the leader was the guy with the longest legs to get to the post office box fast and get the money.
Well, that's how Vince Allen, remember Vince Allen when he started his Nazi party in San Francisco?
Yeah.
He went around to all these little towns in Northern California and paid the $10 and got a post office box, and he had like 20, 30 units up there. And it was just him opening post office boxes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Create your own situation.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Hale trial, I don't feel too good about it. I don't think any of our people are ever going to get an honest break anymore.
Oh, no.
No, I don't think. Once they got you, they're going to either keep you in there for a couple of years before they even try you, or have you beaten up or killed on the inside, or convict you.
Oh, yeah. So, well, democracy is just the lynch mob mentality, and that's all it is. It's getting, lynch mob's getting more nuttier every day, so.
Guess what? A friend of mine tried to open a bank account the other day. You can't open a bank account anymore without a Social Security card. You got to, this Patriots program,
mm-hmm.
Patriots law.
Patriots Act?
Yeah, and before that, you didn't have to have a Social Security number.
Well, you can go in a street corner and buy one from any wetback.
Well, that may be true. And there's another thing that I've heard people do. They'll put this Social Security number in, but change one number.
Yeah.
And somehow they get around it like that. Yeah. I don't know. What do I know? I'm a law-abiding American Bush-loving bastard. No, wait a minute. I ain't either.
You like bushwhacking?
I hate those guys. I've told you a long time ago, I belong to the hate community.
Mm-hmm.
I got deported from the love community.
Oh, you did?
So,
they hate you over there.
And I'm completely intolerant of tolerance.
Well, you know, tolerance, you know how tolerance tolerates everybody but us?
Yeah.
You know, when they teach tolerance in the school, you know, everybody's wonderful except the white race, especially the white male.
Yeah.
The white male killed the buffalo. The white male oppressed women.
Oh.
White male enslaved the blacks. White male destroyed the trees.
He stole all those high-rises from the Indians, too, and those freeways.
Yeah.
And stole the secret to the automobile, airplane, phone.
Because
everything,
under television,
the Indians had all that,
and
if they didn't have it, the niggers did.
Yeah.
They had it buried under the great.
They had it before us and better.
They had it under the Great Pyramid where they hid all those secrets.
You used to have nigger colonies on Mars.
Yeah, that's right. Is that the face of a nigger on the moon?
I think so.
Whoa, man. Dr. Kaldenberg, I understand there's more upheaval at the National Alliance, which we didn't talk much about, but now they've sort of, by proxy, dragged us into it,
mm-hmm.
because they have taken on as one of their trusted and highly respected patriotic right-wing members...
Tommy Martinez. Dave Mazzella. David Zella. We're going lower.
Yeah, lower.
Tom Lydon.
These guys.
Ed Fields?
Yeah.
You
got it.
You're kidding me.
The Honorable Dr. Ed Fields.
That's pretty low.
You know where he got that doctorate?
He went
to a chiropractic school way back in the 50s, and he used it for just a short time, a few months.
Uh-huh.
He never used it afterwards. He's never screwed with anybody's back, but yet he goes around doctored all these right-wingers. Oh, doctor.
Good.
Dr. Edward Fields. Dr. Edward Fields was knifed Rockwell in the back many times, knifed Bob Matthews in the back. He knifed all the order guys in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And let me think, who else? He knifed me in the back.
Yeah.
And the National Alliance now, if they didn't have enough trouble, they bring him in and he's going to be the big poopah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be good because the National Alliance needs to split. The left wing of the National Alliance needs to go one way and then the right wing needs to go another way.
Well, I don't know. They got a lot of those people out there. They could form independent groups and be quite effective.
Oh, yeah. Any organization can't march in two directions and two or three different directions.
You don't need the head grand poopah to come out and say, we're going to send you an official document from the head office at the top, and then you go out on Saturday morning and put them all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, don't do any good anyhow.
What are they going to do, become Identity now that they got Fields in there?
Hell, I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I know that Turner Broadcasting Company is promoting that Truth at Last newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that is just a bunch of clippings about how horrible niggers are. Well, why do I need to read a paper to tell me that niggers are criminals, niggers are rapists, and they're niggers? Do you need a paper for that?
Well, the thing about Truth at Last is it hasn't changed a bit in 43 years.
Same.
You would have bought the Thunderbolt in the 70s. It's the same thing as the Truth in the Last.
Anyhow, that's my last contact, I guess, with the old right wing was through some of the, even the leadership of the National Alliance. I tried to get along with them and all that kind of stuff. But when they're going to put a guy in charge, the one that's a bitter enemy of mine and a horrible guy, they better quit selling any Rockwell stuff because Rockwell's going to come back and haunt them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's enough about that. Hey, that 100 little Hitlers is going big time.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, they're getting hard to get. On the Portland trial, that's become very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to keep them in stock.
Whoa.
I was selling for $20. They're going up to $25 because I've discovered I haven't been selling some of this stuff for enough money because I'm doing all the packing and the shipping the postage, and so a lot of these books are going up to $25.
Mm-hmm.
So all you guys forget the beer for a while and buy some books.
Yeah.
100 Little Hitlers.
Yeah.
Should have been 100 Little Metzgers.
101 Little Hitlers.
101?
Yeah, 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, I knew you'd say that. I just got a letter from a guy saying, you brought the skinhead thing to America, and you deserve the credit. And I said, well, that's nice of you. I don't know whether that's been good for me, but I paid the price.
It's your fault. You're responsible for these drunken fuckheads.
Yeah.
You're the one that brought
it. I know. I must take it all on my shoulders here. We ain't Siskel and Ebert. And Ebert's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, and Siskel's
dead, isn't he?
Well, Ebert's almost dead. Ebert's got cancer of the fat face or something.
Well, that's for marrying a nigger. She gave him the...
Suck a nigger tit or something.
Ebola.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what movies you seen lately?
Mystic River.
Oh, I saw Mystic River.
That was a great movie.
How can you say that? How can you sit there on this show and say that it was a great movie? What was great about it?
Okay, when the boys were out there writing on the sidewalk, and this cop told this one kid to get in the car, and he had another cop next to him, and he turns around, and he has that cross on his ring, and he has that really evil smile, and you know he's a Christian. The minute there, you know the little boy's going to get raped. And then when they go to inside the guy's basement, there's a little boy crying on a bed, and close the door, and here's this guy with his big Christian cross with his evil fucking smile, and he just looks at the little boy and slams it. You know he just got raped. I mean, what they're doing is they're using Christianity as a symbol of homosexual pedophilia.
Well, that part of it I can understand. I can understand what you're saying there, but I'd forgotten more about that and thought about the whole movie in general, which was 3 hours long.
I was in the theater when
my ass went to sleep.
I was in the theater when it was packed, and there's all these people, and the minute that guy turned around, and he had a Christian cross on it, all these old ladies behind me went, because they knew what was going to happen. They saw that cross, and now you know, because you know, I guess the Catholic thing and stuff. And now, whenever they see a Christian cross, the first thing they come in mind, and you know, the little boy's going to get it. You know, so, well, that was pretty funny.
Maybe it had to do too. I went in there with my lady, and the guy got. He always gets up and gives a little speech, a welcome to the theater, and all that. At the this. Well, anyhow, he says that we said it's too cold, and so the guy turned the thing. He turned it the wrong way. It went down to about 20 degrees. Finally, I went out in the outer office there, the outer place, and I said, "Hey, we're freezing our ass off in here." So he comes back in, and he's going to change it. Now the movie's going on. I'm missing the movie and everything. All of a sudden, it's 90 degrees in there. He turned it the other way. By the end of the movie, we all poured out of there gasping. Maybe that had something to do with hating the movie. But anyhow, well, the general tone of the movie, I can see what you're getting. As being anti-religious, that's good. I'll give it credit.
Yeah.
I'd give it maybe two flaming swastikas. But the rest of the movie, 3 hours long, it wasn't that interesting a story.
Well, I took it as, here's three guys who's, because of Christianity, screwed up their life, they turned into these real three fucked up men. You know, the one guy is the fucked up hood, one guy's the fucked up cop, and the other guy is just the general fucked up masses, you know.
I didn't realize how bigoted you are against religion.
I hate their guts.
Oh, my God, on my show, he's saying that. You know, you, boy, if you tuned into the Turner Broadcasting and heard all those Christian shows, those right wing. Sometimes I turn them on. You know,
would not be able to stop puking.
I can't believe it. You ought to hear the shit they're putting out on
the
there.
The puke would not stop from my belly.
Believe me, they know everything that happened back in the Old Testament. They know every little thing that happened.
Every little boy Jesus buggered.
Got his name and his birth date
and everything.
But anyhow, Sean Penn did a good job.
Oh, he was a great convict.
He did a very good job.
He reminded me of somebody I knew. You know, a friend of my brother's. I mean, just the way he talks, and he looks too, and the way he moves and stuff.
Yeah,
he just remind, you know, I just believe somebody who actually did time.
Yeah,
you know, because when you see people that's actually done some hard time, they got that look to them.
Well, like that cop said, he's stiff in the neck.
Yeah,
you can always tell he's a convict.
Yeah,
he did a good job. And by the time they drug out that deal with that Tim, what's his name?
Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
Yeah,
I was saying, kill a son of a bitch and get this movie over with. They drug out that scene for 15 minutes. Well, if you'll tell the truth, I won't kill you. Well, anybody believe that is full of shit, you know.
Well, he was fucked up by Christianity, so of course he'd believe it.
Oh, man, he finally says, I did it, and then they still kill him?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they killed him. Yeah. Then I could go home. It was 90 degrees, and I was dying. Well, anyway.
Well, I liked his wife. Remember that Tim Robbins' wife that who told a gangster that this guy, he thinks he killed his daughter, and she was shocked that the gangster would kill her husband.
Yeah.
You know, after she told him her husband killed his daughter.
Right.
So because you know she was to me like the typical American. You know, she has no concept of reality, and if she sticks her foot into reality, she's the victim. You know.
Yeah.
She has no idea it was coming.
Now I did like the idea of the gang that protected the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they didn't,
the Savage Brothers.
Well, if they hadn't have made one little goof there, they'd have been all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, well even. So vigilantes do make a mistake once in a while, but I think regular law makes mistakes even more than vigilantes most of the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Anyhow, moving on, this runaway jury or whatever.
Yeah, I remember
Gene Hackman.
That.
Oh, that's a good movie. Good movie. It shows you how fucked up this jury system is and how they can manipulate a jury. And I believe, maybe not to the extent of this movie, where they move in a whole a semi-load of electronic equipment, and they got cameras inside the courtroom and briefcases and everywhere, and they got something on everybody on the jury, and then they and the guy's getting like $100 million to it's of course it's an anti sort of an anti-gun movie because they're going against the gun manufacturer, and the gun was used in killing somebody. So anyhow, it was you gotta take that out of the equation, but the movie is good. It is much better than, what is that, Dirty River? No, Mystic River. It's much better.
Is there any anti-Christian stuff in there?
I think a lot more anti-Jew stuff almost.
Oh, really?
There's so many Jews in the damn courtroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so I give that, for just a general exciting movie, I'd give it five flaming swastikas.
I saw two other movies. I saw, what is it, Intolerable Cruelty, which is a movie about a divorce movie with that Clooney and that Welch girl.
Oh, that's a comedy.
Yeah.
I swear I've seen that movie before.
Oh, really?
I think that came out about a year or so ago with a pilot, one of these sneak previews, and then put it back on the shelf. Because I know I've seen that scenario before with the same gal and Clooney and the other guy. What's his name that was married to the gal?
Oh, yeah.
Billy Jean. Sling Bling.
Oh, yeah. Billy Jean Thornton.
Thornton.
Yeah.
He was in it, too. Now, I saw this damn movie, and everybody says, no, you couldn't have seen it. It's brand new. I swear.
Well, why did you tell me it sucked? Because there was only one good scene in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't even remember whether it sucked.
It was a terrible movie. It was boring as hell.
Yeah.
Well, old ladies behind me were laughing. I think old ladies like it. But I, you know, I was watching and I go, this is a stupid. The only funny thing, they had a guy in there that had asthma, and he was always breathing out of his asthma. They call him the Weezer or something like that. And he was going to shoot this guy, except he was kind of stupid, so he accidentally put his gun in his mouth and he shot him with the Weezer.
Oh,
and he took a breath of the gun and blew the back of his head. That was funny.
You like that, huh?
That gave me a kick.
You're a mean man.
I like that. But other than that, I'm stupid. That was the only funny part in the movie.
You are a mean man.
The only funny. Oh, and I also saw a great movie, the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh,
with Jessica Biel.
My
man,
girlfriend
that was good...
wants to go see that because she's from Texas.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that was so gross, I didn't like it.
Gross.
The first one, you know. She wants to go see the second one. I said, I think I'll let you go see it yourself.
Oh, should have came with me. That was a great movie.
Well, I think I can understand, though, being chased around with a chainsaw. Man, I can imagine the horror of being chased around with somebody with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you. Well, why did you say you think it was great?
Leatherface.
These are white people getting killed, aren't they?
Well, most white people suck.
My God.
Leatherface.
This is a racist show.
Leatherface is one of the great American cinema heroes.
He is?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was Eddie, or what's it? What's that other one?
Freddy. Yeah, Freddy's a good movie.
Freddy Krueger.
There's a pantheon. You got Freddy, you got Michael Myers.
Wait a minute. I don't like movies where they're cutting white girls up all the time.
No, they're just dumb shit white girls.
I like ghost movies. I like where you don't.
Well, you make out. How do you think they become ghosts?
No, where you don't. Where you.
You got Leatherface. Got to chop them up, and they become ghosts.
I don't like to chop them up. I like the conspiracy types with like this runaway jury, and then I like ghost movies. I like. The best scary movies are where you don't see the entity. It's just there, and the walls are moving, and all that kind of stuff. That's scary.
Well, this was kind of
just
cool.
Go out there and get Hell House and return to Hell House if you want to see a scary movie.
Yeah, Jessica Biel, the half of the movie running around in a wet T-shirt.
Well, that's why you went, you horny old bastard. Dark.
Well, you know, there was a cool scene where her friend was like, he was being crucified. He's like Jesus and stuff, and he was begging for her to kill her. She got a knife and slit her open, and all her blood hit the T-shirt, and you could see her nipples and blood and stuff. That was a great scene. That's something you bring your kids to.
You a pervert, man.
Imagine, it's like, it was
well, then, tell the truth.
Jesus
you went to a movie to see some snatch or something, didn't you?
And blood.
Well, you didn't go... Well, hell. Let's go... Hey, we got to go on here before we get tossed off the air here. what's next?
What
other movie did you see?
That's about it. Those
well,
are the two.
God, that's enough. You picked three losers out of four.
Three losers?
Well,
one loser.
Mystic River. And,
that was a good one. And, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was a good one.
Well,
that stupid comedy was a terrible one.
I think that gal will probably drag me to that Texas Chainsaw
thing.
It's
a great movie. You'd love it.
I'll be sticking
Lee Remick played a good... Three cops got killed in it. Lee Remick played a good cop.
Well, look. We got some guys on here who are all pissed off at you about what we said about that Kill Bob movie.
Uh-oh.
And so we're going to get to that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So
uh-oh.
Anyhow, let's go.
Hey, that's very good. I appreciate that very much, Wyatt. You're a dick.
Well, what do you think about that, Wyatt?
Well, what have I been telling you for all these years? I am a dick. Among other things.
That was me.
That was you.
Hell yes, that's not my. I don't want to call it a dick.
Well, Tom, I was going to tell you about how stupid these niggers are. I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and yesterday there was a white man at a store. Got out of his car, and this nigger walked up. This female nigger, 20 years old, robbed him. He struggled with her. She put out a gun and shot him. She walked across the street, and it's an area that's a lot of crack. There were 200 cover officers. Watching this crack house. They came out, approached her. She drew down on them. They killed her. And about 30 minutes later, it was Waltz 1964 all over again. Every nigger on the west side of Tulsa was coming to her defense. Even though this is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they had other niggers saying that, yeah, she killed this dude in broad daylight. the officers she drew down on, they killed her. But there was probably 500 niggers out there in her defense saying, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. So it shows you right there that even though...
You know what it shows me? Shows me the niggas stick together.
Yeah, the white people are a bunch of chicken shits that they don't stand up for the white guy that got killed.
Right then, there should have been 1,000 white people come down there with baseball bats and beat them all.
Actually, in the 20s, they did that. They burned the hell. It wasn't Tulsa, the one that they burned down and they started stringing them
up. They strung them up all over Tulsa, but now white people don't have any balls. So when white people won't stand up, well, the niggers are like children.
Oh, yeah.
They're like children.
Or slaves,
so they do that, and they get away with it. They stamp their feet like a spoilt little kid. And
most of them don't even do that.
Yeah.
You know, most of them just to hide and just pretend like nothing ever happened.
I'm talking about the blacks.
Oh, the blacks. White people.
Hell no. They could probably come in their house and rape their wife and kids and everything else.
Well, look at the...
And they'd say, well, they're just misunderstood.
Look at the Colby trial. Like, where the fuck's the father?
Oh, yeah.
And all this.
And look at all... You know, I can't believe all the women that call in taking the nigger side.
Oh, I know. No shit. You know, most of them are white women.
Yeah, women are. They say they ought to stick together. They don't stick together at all.
I heard a white woman on the John and Ken show that called up, and she said that the reason this woman reported the rape is because Kobe's penis was so large and ripped her up that she couldn't explain it to her boyfriend, and the only reason he's on trial for rape is because he's got a big dick.
Oh.
This is some fucking white woman saying that.
Jeez. Well, you know, another thing, one woman called in and she said, well, I was always taught that if I go into a man's room or anywhere he's at in private, then I deserve whatever happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, these guys almost passed out. I mean, you're telling me because a woman goes into a room with a guy or a private room?
So how about if you go in a car? What if a taxi driver picks you up? Or what if you pick up a hitchhiker woman? Can you rape her then?
According to that woman, she...
That's why I like movies like...
Now, this is women.
I know. It's white women, too. This is why I like movies like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it's like the masses finally get what they deserve.
Oh, yeah, boy. I'm telling you, you're allowing yourself to get real mean.
Yeah, well, how can you not get mean with these people?
Well, I understand. I see.
You know, they're not even human. Not only, no, they're not white. They're not even human beings. The majority of the white race aren't even human.
They're cattle.
Oh,
they're cattle.
Yeah. Well, we cattle
and
stick together in a herd.
You have to herd cattle.
Yeah.
And we're being herded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you criticize Rashley Moff hypocrisy? You used the music of John Lennon, who was, to quote, a race mixer.
It's very easy to use John Lennon's music. You just put it in the tape deck and hit play.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty damn easy. We figured that out.
We'll send you the instructions written down there, Kike, if you want them. Now, this guy's got to be the dumbest, one of the dumbest Kikes for his age I've ever run into.
Yeah.
He don't understand hardly anything we do.
No, not at all.
We're not supposed to use that as a comedy against Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he loves Rush Limbaugh, I'll bet you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Kikes like Limbaugh.
Well, you know, John Lennon, too, even though he married a gook, supposedly every time he got in a fight with Yoko Ono, the first thing he called her was a fucking gook and stuff.
Yeah.
She's looking at a fish head and plant eyes.
Yeah.
You know, like I was in college, a lot of times when these white women that were dating these niggers and stuff, whenever they got in a fight, the first thing they would do, they start screaming, nigger, you fucking nigger. You'd always hear it through the dorm, you fucking nigger. It was always like, oh, yeah, so the race mixers are mad at their boyfriends now.
He doesn't even understand that was comedy.
Yeah.
This guy is so Jewish, he doesn't. Well, hell, I mean, that don't even make sense. I don't know. We don't let him talk to us very much.
Wondering what you think about John Black and Stormfront. And also, I think it's kind of funny that a lot of people think Pat Buchanan is a racist, even after he did that, I think it was a run for president with the nigger running mate.
You know, the last time I saw Don Black, as I recall, was way back in the 70s, and he and David Duke and Ed Fields and I went out and had a beer someplace, as I recall. And, Don Black's got a lot of talent, but it's always been, you know, more right-wing bent, and of course, he just couldn't extract himself from David Duke. So
I think ideologically.
So I don't really think about Don Black much. I don't sit around mad at him. He's into another world.
I think ideologically he's good, except he's friends with David Duke. I think that's the thing, is that the only real connection with David Duke is that he's friends with him, because I think he's ideologically a little different than Duke. Actually, he's quite a bit different than Duke.
Well, I think he is, too. But, you know, the thing, I criticized him to his face one time. And I said, you know, you're not your own man. You need to be your own man.
Well, Stormfront, Stormfront's a pretty good thing.
Well, I don't want to really talk much about it because I don't know that much about it. But all I know is that he ended up marrying Duke's wife and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what that was all about. But anyhow, Pat Buchanan, what a phony old Pat Buchanan is. And all these right-wing racists, they fall for that shit all the time. Yeah. He's using code words, Western Christian civilization and all that kind of stuff. And then he goes, all he is a running dog for the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah.
He whenever they got a race that they're afraid might get out of hand, they trot him out to corral in the right-wing conservatives keep them in the party.
You know, under the Nixon administration, you know who, a member of the Nixon cabinet, came up with the concept and the terminology of affirmative action?
Yeah, you told me.
Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan is the one who created the affirmative action programs. He's the one who named it.
So under
Nixon. And so, supposedly, you know, he's talk about playing out of both sides of your mouth. You know, he created this program, and then he gets all this money for supposedly fighting what he created.
I'm telling you, it's so easy to mislead people. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the more astonished I get at how easy it is to herd these sheep and cattle around. It's no wonder the Jews call us goy, goyim, and all that kind of stuff, because we deserve to be called that.
Well, I noticed that the more complicated your ideas, the more they're lost. So you just have to basically speak in jingles and stuff, you know, slogans, because if you don't, they have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, and the minute you go against the grain on this, who do they turn on?
Oh,
they turn on us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kill the messenger.
Yeah.
You know, oh, man.
You were talking about the movie by Quentin Tarantino, the new movie, Kill Bill, where the tall blonde girl heroine, played by actress Uma Thurman, as being a white Aryan heroine. That's a stretch from her last movie that she worked for Quentin Tarantino, which was Pulp Fiction, starring John Travolta. She played the wife of a black gangster drug dealer. And I just figured you should know that. But, anyways, keep up the good work, Tom. Gotta get worse before it gets better. We really have to. And we have to dump Christianity and anything else related to.
Well, I don't remember her from Pulp Fiction, but still, you see, one thing people got to understand, when I say I like a movie, it's not what somebody did in any movie, it's the story you're looking at. And in this story is what she represented in my mind.
Yeah.
It's not what she did in another movie. I mean, none of these people are really in our camp.
Well, you know, talk honestly, when the time comes, I don't think there's anybody in Hollywood that doesn't belong in a labor camp, you know?
Re-education camp or something.
Can you think of one person that isn't a race traitor in Hollywood?
Who is the guy that hunts with a bow and arrow and don't live in Hollywood and all that? Didn't he make escape from L.A. and escape from New York?
Kurt Russell?
I think it's Kurt Russell that sort of goes.
Oh, he's married to Goldie Hawns.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, he's not married. He's been, actually, it's kind of weird. He's been living with her for, I don't know, 20 years, but they never got married, and he's got that Kate Hudson.
Well, I think it's him that's, I read about, that's sort of a maverick and goes against the grain.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Most of them up there. They can't. I mean, if they're going to be actors, they got to play the game.
I was hearing that supposedly the Muslims are going to bomb the Academy Awards and stuff, and I was just kind of praying and hoping, hopefully bomb that fucker.
You know, thinking back, that reminds me of when Joe Tomasi, the Nazi leader at L.A., when they had that movie, The Holocaust, and they brought that Dutch bitch over that hit all those Jews and all that, and they threw a gas bomb down the aisle of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I remember, and they cleared the whole theater for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And cleared it, and when they got a hold of the thing on the outside, it said, brought to you by your friendly local Nazi party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Joe was all right.
No, these Jews are going, we're being gassed. Jews are being gassed.
Yeah, and they're all running out. And I saw it on TV. They're all standing out in the street crying. Yeah, okay. Well, no, you're right. It's good to give us this kind of information, but just remember that when it's a make-believe fiction thing, mm-hmm. and when we see the person, when I see the person in that film, I'm judging from that story.
Yeah, just that story. Yeah.
Otherwise, you go nuts and never go see anything. I mean, you know. Yeah, and also, I see a lot of things that are on our side in the movies, interwoven, mm-hmm. that you got to use your brain mm-hmm. to sort of mix it up yourself. If you don't go into a movie and let the damn directors fuck with your mind. Most of the time, I go in and the bad guy is my hero.
You know?
And so I can make anybody my hero, screw the director, mm-hmm. screw the producer, screw the star.
Yeah.
I can make a movie any way I want, just like when you read a book or something. That's what you should do. You got to think when you go to movies.
I don't think there's anything that comes out of this mass culture that's absolutely 100% good.
Pure? There is no purity, that's for sure. Yeah. And but anyhow, that gal is a symbolic to me. And incidentally, we want some pictures of some beautiful ladies sent to us, don't we? We'll put them on our front page of our paper.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some good Aryan beautiful women in bathing suits, maybe even naked. I don't care about the right wing.
Yeah.
Screw the right wing, the Christians and all that. We're pagans. We'll put a naked woman on the front of the paper if we want to.
Yeah.
And if they don't like it, that's tough.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, preferably if they got a gun or a weapon of mass destruction.
Or a hot body.
You know what? I think their vagina is a weapon of mass destruction. Because you know what? The secret is women own half the wealth in this country
mm-hmm.
and 100% of the vaginas. And so men don't run this country.
That's true.
Yeah. Look at the President Clinton. You think he ran the country?
Well,
why, that bitch, she told him what for.
You know, behind every great man, there was a woman bitching.
That's true. I believe that.
Yeah, I do.
Look it down through history.
Yeah.
You know, even Abraham Lincoln,
his
wife was a holy
terror. That's what I read, that people are afraid to walk into the White House and stuff because Mary Todd was just a maniac.
Well, look at Lady Bird Johnson.
Yeah.
She was hell on wheels.
Yeah.
And Mamie Eisenhower, those broads.
Yeah.
They were
Eleanor Roosevelt, they say she's the one who discovered the niggers.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah, well, she basically ran because her husband was just some gimp in a wheelchair, so she basically ran the country.
You know what I can't understand is why this gal is married to Bush. She's a nice-looking lady.
Power.
Pretty lady. Why she'd marry such a fruitcake, you know? Now, he's making a deal with Fox over there.
Mm-hmm.
Just came through today. Mm-hmm. Their men of defense is going to be all pro-Mexican. Watch out now. It's coming. They're over there in Thailand talking about how they're going to let more people in here.
Yeah.
And you know what I think happens? I think guys like that, especially in Texas, when they were young, couldn't get any nookie. They were screwing these Mexican pepper bellies.
Yeah.
And now they got this sympathy for these Mexicans. I'll bet you that old Bush, that's the President of the United States, was just screwing all those pepper bellies.
Well, his brother, the governor of Florida, is married to one.
Well, yeah.
He's got all these little racially mixed piece of shit kids.
Right. And that means these guys had low self-esteem as far as sexually.
Yeah.
And they were having trouble getting a nice, intelligent, they didn't want a nice, intelligent white woman, so they went with the easy deal with the Mexican. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, we got that figured out, don't we?
That's the problem with a lot of the Mexicans. A lot of the Mexicans are part white and stuff like that. So people, in their mind, they think they're white people.
Yeah, well, that leads me to say there's a guy going to get on your ass about another thing.
Oh.
He's coming.
Oh.
You know, we talk about mestizo a lot because there's so much of that has come in the past has been mestizo. You know what we're dealing with now?
Little squatty Indians.
They're not mestizos at all. They're flat-out Indians.
Yeah.
And they're Asiatic.
Yeah.
They got to get through your head, that dumb Columbus. He was smart enough to go west and find this continent, but he called all these damn Asiatics Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got the whole country screwed up about Indians. You see these people coming in now around here and all through California, they are squatty-ass Indians. They're not even a mestizo.
Well,
at least the mestizo's got some white in him.
Well, that's what I say. You know, the more dangerous thing is the mestizo, because the mestizo is the one that breaks the ice. Because you look at him in like that, what's that Antonio Banderas guy?
Yeah.
A lot of women say, oh, he's cute, and you say he's not white, and they go, yes, he is. And, no, he's fucking not. And then first they'll marry him, and then once their kids are racially mixed pieces of shit, why don't they just go marrying an Indian? And they do. And so the racially mixed piece of shit people are the ones who break the ice.
That's true.
That's why they are far more dangerous than those little shit-in-the-wood Indians.
Yeah.
Because you look at one of those shit-in-the-wood Indians, and, I mean, they're short, they got gaggly teeth, and like I say, they poop in the woods. Who wants them?
Well, look at, like, Whoopi Goldberg. Now, of all the
niggers. Oh, yeah. I've got to say, Whoopi Goldberg.
If they look like that.
She's a perfect nigger.
We got a bone to pick with you on that beauty shit.
Well, from our point of view.
Speak for yourself.
That
she's ugly.
They're
always going to be ugly.
She is far better looking than Vanessa Williams.
A true nigger is ugly. I have no attraction whatsoever.
Vanessa Williams is ugly. I could not
get it up with a nigger.
Who said anything about getting it up?
Well, that's the whole thing in life. That's Darwin.
Tigers are beautiful. That doesn't mean I want to fuck a tiger.
The faster you can get it up, the faster this race
tarnishes
the earth.
Don't you think tigers are beautiful? That doesn't mean you want to breed with a tiger.
Well, that's the stupidest analogy I ever
heard. Well, that's what niggers aren't even.
I'm going to get my other.
Niggers are no different than apes or tigers or monkeys or frogs.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
They're not the same species.
Last week that she was beautiful.
Compared to a racially mixed piece of shit.
No, because I said last week you're seeing the white in the gal.
And that's
Haley
the dangerous
Barber,
part.
What's her name? What's got the?
Haley. I don't know. Let's take Vanessa Williams.
She's almost
white. She's a nigger.
White.
Well, yeah, no, she's a nigger with blue eyes. All these white girls look at her and say, "God, she's so beautiful. I'd like to fuck her."
You're attracted to the white blood.
And that's what's dangerous.
It is dangerous. I didn't say it wasn't dangerous.
Yeah.
But somehow you got off and said that that Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg is better looking than Vanessa Williams because Vanessa Williams is a vile piece of racially mixed shit, and she passes for a Caucasian.
You got your logic.
No, it's just like you say, tigers are beautiful. But then you jump and say, "Oh, tigers are beautiful." So you want to fuck a tiger? No, I don't want to fuck a tiger. It's just that tigers
are
perfect.
Don't compare a nigger to a tiger.
Why?
You're insulting the hell out of the tiger.
Well, they're not our species. They're not Aryans.
Let's talk about human animals, okay?
Well,
niggers are human animals.
There's no such thing as a human race. A nigger is a nigger, and a white person is a white person.
Well, what is the anthropological label we're talking about here?
Niggers.
And the white man is
an Aryan.
Aryan, but do they accept Aryan anymore?
I do. I don't give a fuck what they accept.
Okay, we got to go on with the show, but I'm going to bring on the second team.
Okay.
Okay.
Be Goldberg better looking than Halle Berry? Are you kidding, Dr. Coldenberg? No one is asking you to sleep with Halle Berry by any means, but you need to call a spade a spade. Whoopi Goldberg is nothing but a dreadlocked gorilla. Halle Berry, while she's a negress, she's a half-breed, she's good-looking because of the white blood that flows in her veins. That doesn't mean you should sleep with her. But again, call a spade a spade. I think Dr. Coldenberg needs new glasses, Tom.
I rest my case.
Gorillas are beautiful. Whoopi Goldberg is a gorilla. And what white guy in his right mind would want to sleep with a gorilla? An octoroon or a quadroon are like the devil because all these white guys, like I say, Vanessa Williams, they look at all these white guys want to better.
Are you a Hebrew or something?
No.
Look, we agree. Mm-hmm. I know we do. We just got the terminology wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree that to an Aryan, Whoopi is ugly.
Yeah.
Right? But we also understand, and this is the big temptation that only a true Aryan can stand up against. A large number of white people would be happy to sleep with Halle Berry.
I know.
Because they're making an excuse. They see the white blood, and they're attracted to
it. I know.
They don't realize that. If somebody said, "You got to sleep with Whoopi Goldberg," they'd say, "No way."
Good.
But
that's the way it should be. They should say, "No way, she's a fucking ape."
Yeah, but we have to deal with reality. Mm-hmm. And reality is there's a lot of these race-mixed blacks and others that are always a temptation for fanatical white Aryans to resist.
Well, that's now, why we should teach people to be sickened by the racially mixed people.
Well, I don't disagree with that, and I promote that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we should really be attracted to these people, but there is a biological attraction to someone who is nearly Aryan,
Hollywood does it all the time, like
that's
Lucy Liu.
Why do you think the Jews promote?
I know. Well, that's what I mean. Like in Lucy Liu, Every magazine you read, they say, Lucy Liu is a beauty. Holly Berry is a beauty. You know, they never say Whoopi is a beauty, because they're always pushing these. The first thing they do is they push these racially mixed pieces of shit.
Well,
so,
they're correct in a way, because they are racist.
Yeah.
This shows you how racist the liberals are. Now, they don't come out all the time and say, they don't say Whoopi's beautiful,
no.
Do they? Right. They are racist mm-hmm. by their very nature, because they cannot see Whoopi mm-hmm. as being beautiful. But they see someone that's two-thirds white as being beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and that is subconsciously, they're all racist.
But they're using race and mixing to destroy us. I think a cactus tree is far more beautiful than Vanessa Williams, because a cactus tree is a pure cactus. Doesn't mean I want to hug it and kiss it.
Wait a minute. You're getting lions
but,
and tigers and
but you,
cactus
you,
trees.
My point is that we have to teach ourselves to vomit every time we see something that's racially mixed. Because all through even India, that's how India fell. It wasn't because they were white guys were going out and fucking these pure wogs. It was always these quarter wogs and these half wogs.
We're
and
arguing
wogs.
The same position.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm arguing it better
yeah.
because I'm making you aware more of the danger.
Oh, yeah.
Of somebody who's got a lot of white blood, but they're still not white. But I'll still tell you this. You take Holly Berry and put it up, put her next to, say, 10 of the leading Miss America girls, maybe blonde, maybe not, and she's still not that good looking.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, I see white
you
women.
You put her next to a cactus tree, and the cactus is a lot
better. Get out of the goddamn desert. We keep mixing up these things here. Anyhow, I think we all pretty much agree,
mm-hmm.
but anybody, you know, I don't know whether you or whoever, but I've had my chances with mixed women, and I've always turned them down.
Well, that's right.
Because I'm a fanatic, but most of these stupid guys that like niggerball and all that, they'd bed down in a minute with these people.
Well, I know a lot of white guys will say, oh, she's half white. You know, like, that's the big point. Like, oh, she's okay because she's half white.
See, they're racist.
You know?
See, they are racist.
Yeah, but they're using racism to destroy us, you know. It's just the same way the capitalists use racism to destroy the white race.
What we need to do as leaders is to point this out to mm-hmm. white men. The reason you're attracted to that babe is not because she's got black blood. You're attracted to her because she's got white blood.
And that's why
is wrong.
And that's why we should reject the racially mixed people a lot more violently.
Why are you waving your fist and your finger in my face?
Because you're not getting my point that the most dangerous thing are racially mixed people.
I got your...
Nothing more evil than somebody who's like a quarter white.
I don't understand why you think I disagree with you.
Because I don't think you're getting it.
I just said over and over
uh-huh.
they're dangerous and we should be always on guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said that I've been in positions like that where the easiest thing would have been to bed down with this mixed race
mm-hmm.
person, but because I'm an Aryan, I steel myself not to do it. But I do know some people who lead the right wing
mm-hmm.
in this country and claim to be racist that have done it, and I'm not going to name their names.
Well, I know the whole Nazi party in L.A., where they went out and they got these prostitutes, and remember their excuse was, they said, oh, you don't think the SS was fucking Japs and stuff?
Well, how about the Nazi leader in L.A.?
Yeah.
I love the mestizos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was sleeping with them and...
His big thing was she was half white.
Half white, right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, she said she's half white.
Well, of course...
She's really beautiful. Her white half is really beautiful.
Well, that's why I had nothing to do with the man.
Yeah.
Plus, he was...
He wasn't fucking your racially mixed piece of shit half.
Oh, yeah. Well, a good share of these people that are actually say they're in our camp will have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And dealt with ruthlessly
mm-hmm.
because they have no excuse.
Yeah.
Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Gravy, would that God would hang Rush Limbaugh with his favorite necktie.
Well, speaking of Rush Limbaugh, you know, we secretly put a bug in his padded cell down
mm-hmm.
there at the rehab. And so I'm going to turn it on here and see what's going on. Oh, my God. Rush. Come on, Rush. You can do it.
100 pills.
You can
day,
do it.
And that's more than 36 hours of withdrawal.
Rush, you can handle it. Cold turkey. Yeah, you can do it. Settle down there, boy.
You think with a name like Rush, he'd be into stimulants like crank. Anyway, what I heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls is it mentions Jesus, but it mentions that Jesus had his followers and St. John the Baptist had his followers. And that they were in kind of they were rivals of each other. Unlike what it says in the New Testament about them being cousins and, you know, John baptizing Jesus. There's still a group that, monotheists that venerates John the Baptist in modern day Iraq. But, yeah, actually, reason to, you know, kind of look down the look down your nose at some of these fun damn mentalists.
Well, I knew I shouldn't have got into that Essene thing because I don't know how long it will I'll ever get it accomplished where these people understand that Jesus is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
He's an allegory for the sun. It was mostly borrowed from Mithraism, the whole Christian idea, mm-hmm. and also the Egyptian religions and so forth like mm-hmm. that. And there's plenty of evidence around for people.
Well, actually, I got a catalog from the University of Berkeley, and they have a class on there, Early Christians Teachings. And you know, the early Gnostic Christians, you know, almost all Christians were Gnostic in the beginning. And their whole thing was that Jesus never died on the cross, that Satan was trying to kill him. And Jesus beat Satan, and he was the light triumphant. He was the light over darkness triumphant. And that was what Christians believed for the first 200 years of Christianity. It wasn't until Constantine and stuff made it where he died on the cross.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it gives me a headache, yeah. All this stuff, because it's all mythology and astrology. And also, hey, interesting, last night, and I forgot to get up, the Orion was supposed to be really...
it was.
Bright.
Yeah.
And Orion's that thing where they talk about that we possibly came from. Yeah. That, you know, the guy said that the pyramids are arranged just like
the... Well, yeah, the belt of Orion, because, you know, you got the... You got the two big pyramids, which are the two bright stars.
Yeah.
And then the one that's kind of a little off is the tiny one.
Yeah.
And the pyramids of Giza are like the belt of Orion. And then he went in and the different stars, you know, the arm and stuff, and he dug there and he found temples and stuff.
Yeah. I'll be perfectly honest, boys and girls, I'd rather believe something like that, that we came from Orion or something like that, than this bullshit that we have to go through with Christianity and all this stuff in the garden and everything.
Yeah.
But you got to study this theology a little bit and get out of this Christian mode, man, because we can't get out of this. I guess we're just doomed.
Yeah, we deserve to die.
We're doomed, man. We're doomed, and... you know, the Last Supper I've explained many times, you know, that's very Masonic and very astrological. Then you got three groups of four in the constellation, the whole thing. You got Jesus in the middle. You got Judas the backbiter. It's all celestial. It's all in the sky, you know. And I don't understand why it's so hard to understand that. And once you do, you laugh at all this mythology they try to run down our throat, you know.
Definition of a racist, someone who assumes that everybody is prejudiced because he is.
Well, that's Jerry the Jew's grandpa, and he is dumb. That guy is dumb, because I'm not prejudiced at all. Every racial belief I have was very well studied and thought out.
Well, I must be the opposite, because I don't think that there's hardly anybody are racist, well, especially not white people. Very few white people are racist.
Well, you're in the way they should be.
Yeah.
But like I say, I don't prejudge. I evaluate by the evidence before me and bring the evidence of the black race before me that they are a substandard race, and it's all over the place. I mean, how much more proof do you need? And their only excuse is that, oh, the white man depressed them, suppressed them. And I say, well, that's another reason to show they're subservient, because they made good slaves.
Yeah.
White man didn't do that. I mean, if you're able to be enslaved as a race for any length of time, that proves my point right there.
My definition of a racist is somebody who makes race their central judging point on religion, culture, science, and everything else. And it doesn't matter to me if the white race is superior or inferior, as I'm a white person. And if the white race was superior to every race on the earth, I'd still be pro-white because I want my people to survive. So I don't give a shit about... you know, white supremacy or white inferiority or anything. I just want, like I say, I want the Aryan race to survive, and I want us to basically do well.
Could you say that a little plainer English? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm calling from Arkansas. I wanted to tell you guys it was a good show. I agree with everything you say, and that most people view racists as thugs and hooligans, and we should conduct ourselves in a respectable manner. I get a lot of people that look at me and say, oh, you Nazi this, Nazi that. And then when they sit down and talk, then they learn to respect our views, you know, sort of see eye to eye on the defense issue. Good show. You guys take care. Stay white. We're for a long fight, but we're going to win. I hope to God we win. Take care, 88.
You know what respectable is?
What?
Winning.
That's true.
And whether you act like a hooligan, a barbarian, or a cultured Englishman, the only thing is to win.
That's true.
And sitting down and attempting to explain all this to a lot of these people is a complete waste of time, because what are they going to do after they listen, even if they agree with you? I know people all over this town that agree with me.
Yeah.
They don't do a damn thing. They never did anything to help the struggle. They never really contributed anything. What good are they?
Well, if people agree with you, it's like the house is burning down, and you say, hey, let's put the fire out. And everybody stands there and drinks their beer and agrees with you. But then the fight, the house is still burning and nobody does anything.
Somebody should put the fire out.
Somebody, I agree 100%. Somebody really should do something about that fire.
That's right. And even though I can understand what the young man is saying, and it's nice to be able to speak intelligently with a fellow white person and they accept it and everything, but that's only the first step.
You know,
now what the fuck you gonna do?
You know, the problem with the white race is if the house is on fire, half of them agree with you that it should be put on, and the other half says, what fire? I don't see a fire. Are you hateful? Do you hate fire?
Yeah.
You're prejudiced against fire.
Well, like the old idea that you shouldn't yell fire in a crowded theater?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if there is a fire in a crowded theater? Most of the time there is, you know?
Yeah.
That's a stupid analogy,
you
know? Are you going to just sit there? Are you going to put it out? Yeah. I can use that just as well for my argument as a liberal argument. In fact, more for my argument.
Yeah.
You know, a good example was that theater the other day. Now, there was, maybe 100 people in there.
Yeah.
And they were freezing their ass off because the guy turned it the wrong way, the thermostat.
Yeah.
But I was the only guy that got up and went all the way out to the office and said, hey, this is screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the guy turned it the other way and it got up to 90, I was the only guy went out and told him that, too. Not one of those swinging dicks would get up and go out and complain.
Well, probably you could...
That is a microcosm out of the whole society.
Yeah, but slowly they could turn it up to 200 and just fried everybody in the theater.
Yeah.
They got off the seat.
Yeah, I know. And even then they might leave the theater, but they wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
They don't want to. Oh, I don't want to be in that position. You know?
Well, yeah. The,
or get to the point where you're dying and you grab a club or an axe and run over there and hack the damn wiring and stuff and kill the air conditioner.
Oh, yeah.
They'd say, hey, you're destroying private property, and have the cops come in and haul me away.
Well, mass is the only time they really complain about anything is when society thinks it's proper to. You know, like if they get on the Oprah show and everybody's yelling at us, then the masses can actually complain and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just that, well, like the one time when we came back from the Geraldo show, I was telling you that me, John, and Carl were sitting on a theater, and there was this lady and these two guys talking about the show, and they were saying, oh, that blonde guy was so evil and stuff like that. And I stood up and told them, says, oh, you know that blonde guy that was on the Geraldo show? That's him right there. That's John Metzger. And I'm the guy that broke Corallo's nose. And all of a sudden, it was just like a state of shock. And then they were saying, oh, you were really great on the show. We really loved you. The minute we stood up, and they realized there was going to be a fight.
Well,
you know?
I always say hypocrisy is a national sport in this country. It is the national sport, even beyond niggerball, is hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing turns my stomach daily is the hypocrisy you hear on the street. You hear it on the news. You hear it on television. Anywhere you go, in the movies, hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this black gal get hammered for causing an accident, allegedly, to where some retards got killed in a bus she was driving. But and afterwards, they were analyzing, and they were saying, oh, how we need to have the highest of training people in these taking care of the retards and all that. Total bullshit. They don't give a goddamn about the retards or the wounded guys in a veterans hospital. They hire the cheapest people they can get, minimum wage, and then minimum wage morons do bad things.
Oh, just like, like daycares, or not day, elderly care centers, retirement homes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the worst possible people that a lot of times they hire those people, minimum wage and stuff.
And
a lot of times they don't turn them over and they got bed blisters.
And they hammered this gal. They're going to give her, like, life in prison because the van turned over, blew out a tire or whatever, and these retards were unbuckling themselves and running all over the bus. And this black gal, they're going to give her, like, life, and she's got one step up from an animal. I mean, no, I don't want to insult the animal. She doesn't know anything, what's going on. But yet she was in this position of responsibility because they won't pay good money to get highly trained people.
Yeah.
They don't care, but they get on there, and they always say, oh, well, and just like, what's his name, the black guy, the general, all these guys getting killed over there in Iraq, he says,
Colin Powell.
They did not die in vain. They're dying for this great cause. Kiss my ass, you nigger. They're dying for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And the parents are just as hypocritical. Oh, my son and daughter, they died for these lofty ideals.
Well, I think it's funny. I just heard on the radio, the guy who's taking over Russia, I forget who he is, but they have a new conservative each week.
Yeah.
And he basically says the reason we're losing the war in Iraq is France's fault. Because Colin Powell went over there and France disrespected him, and now we're losing the war because he was disrespected. They wouldn't
help
him.
You want to just hammer your head against a stone wall once in a while during the day?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not so upset that they say these things, but they're not booed and laughed out off the stand.
Yeah.
They actually sit there, reporters, and say, oh, is that true? Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's about time to close out the show before I have a mental breakdown, a heart attack. How about you?
All right.
Let's
close out the
show. We've got to gain our strength back for the next show.
That's true.
Okay. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, what else are you going to say? And don't say happy trails or I'll kick your ass.
I won't say that.
Okay. See you later, boys and girls.
Back in the saddle again.
Yeah. And support Matt Hale. He's a good guy.
Well, I was summoned from Montgomery. Have my guitar on my back. Well, it's strange to stop beside me in an antique Cadillac. Now, we was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said, it's a long walk to Nashville. Would you like to take a ride, son? I sat down in the front seat. He turned on the radio. Them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost quite pale when he asked me for a light. And I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? He said, boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? Cause if you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride. Then he cried.